Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:38 British Summer Time. Today is August 6th. Well, today in China we saw that the market was a little bit easier. That was the exception in Asia because the majority of markets finished in excess of 1% and the major and some more than 2%. But in China we've seen that this market has the advance has been checked by that downward dynamic we saw last week, and the market has been unable yet to sustain a move to new high ground. So there is no evidence just yet that this is anything more than a pause, because it still remains above the lows that we saw posted last week, which are around 3,330 on the A share index, and it really would need to take those out to suggest that this was a more serious correction and that we were going to see a reversion towards the mean. What we continue to see is that the leading markets have maintained their upward breaks, with China excepted, and that the bull market hypothesis is still very much in place. But on the other hand, they are becoming increasingly overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages. Those moving averages have turned up, which is another bullish sign, and there is the increasing likelihood that we're going to see a reversion towards the mean at some point this year, and we know what to look for to indicate when that is going to occur. And the first thing, of course, would be downward dynamics across a number of markets on the same day. So commonality on the upside, we're likely to have commonality on the downside. They would need to take out their progression of higher lows, and we haven't seen any markets doing that, any market of consequence doing that in the short term. And then they would need to start coming down with a bit more vigor towards their moving averages. And that would suggest that we were into this medium-term correction. But no evidence of that yet. And these markets appear to be doing little more than pausing. Europe today took its tone from the majority of Asia and was finished up in positive territory for the majority of indices. And Wall Street was a bit weaker in here today, and we see that, for example, the S&P continues to consolidate around this 1,000-point level. It's lost momentum in the last couple of weeks, having had a very strong advance from the middle of July onwards, but has lost momentum somewhat in the last week. Same for the Dow Jones. And these markets are consolidating around the current levels. We haven't seen anything again here in the way of downward dynamics to shake any of the bulls out of their positions or to question the bullish hypothesis. And in the absence of those downward dynamics, we can continue to give the upside the benefit of the doubt as lagging markets test the upper sides of their ranges. In the government bond markets, we see that the most markets were a bit steadier in here today, and the gilt market was considerably stronger, although finishing well off its highs. And the reason for that, of course, was because the Bank of England, in their statement today, announced that they were going to increase their quantitative easing program and add another £84 billion into the system. So the bond markets rallied and the pound weakened. And while the bonds, or while gilts did not hold their advance, the weakening of the pound was sustained all the way to the end of the session. And against the dollar, it was down by 2 full cents. And against the euro bounced from the lower side of its range, and that's around the 85p level, and does now look like there's a good chance it's going to go back up and test the upper side of this short-term range, which is in the region of the 87p level. Or it does look like we're going to see a little bit of euro dominance against the pound over the next couple of weeks at least. What we also saw today was that industrial metals were a bit weaker. Nickel, for example, has been stronger by nearly $1,000 every day for the last 5 days, but gave up some of that advance today. It was down $850. And while that has been a rather spectacular move, all of the industrial metals have been really quite strong over the last week. A number have pushed up to new recovery highs, and they are looking a little bit overextended in the short term. So if we see a pause or a something of a pullback over the coming weeks, that is probably not going to be too surprising for quite a few investors. And as long as they can sustain their progressions of higher lows, then the bull market hypothesis will remain in place. And these industrial metals continue to lead on the upside in much the same way they did back in 2003. The precious metals were a bit volatile in here today. We saw that silver went up to $15 but was unable to sustain the gain and finished down at 1453, which was down 22 cents on the day. Platinum finished down 2330. Gold was relatively unchanged, up 15 cents on the day. And what we are seeing is in the precious metal market is a little bit of a change in this gold market, because over the last 6 or 7 weeks or so particularly, we've seen that the inverse correlation between gold and the dollar has been quite strong, that every time the dollar strengthened, gold went down. But what we have seen somewhat in the last couple of days is gold beginning to take its cue from stock markets. Particularly this morning, the dollar was relatively firm and gold was up around the 971 level, and it gave up some of that advance as Wall Street weakened in the afternoon in Europe, and that took the wind out of gold's rally. So we're seeing a little bit of a change, and what we're also seeing is gold beginning to firm in other currencies. Over the last week, I've been looking at gold in Canadian dollars, and it was coming down towards that $1,000 level and bounced from it in the last couple of days. So we're starting to see gold find support in some of the stronger currencies out there, that it's no longer beginning to take its cue from the dollar, that it is beginning to find support and move a little bit independently. Now, it's still taking its cue from stock markets, but when gold begins to advance in a meaningful way, then it will likely do it on its own. Or that's the incorrect way to put it. Gold will do it without being influenced to a large degree by another asset class. When it does move, it will likely take silver and platinum with it, and they will likely outperform. Gold, of course, has been consolidating below $1,000 for a good long time at this point. It's been consolidating its acceleration for 18 months, and this is the third such consolidation in this bull market. On two previous occasions, it broke upwards in September. So, with gold less than $50 away from its all-time highs, there is certainly the potential that it could do something similar next month. But even if it doesn't do it in September, there's a strong likelihood it's going to do it at some point in the next few months, because it has been gathering pace, it has been putting in a progression of higher lows below $1,000 and edging up there steadily over the last few months in a support building process. And this is all really quite bullish activity. Elsewhere in the commodity sector, the oil price was relatively unchanged today. Natural gas was weaker by 27 cents. So natural gas has really been quite volatile. It's volatile anyway. But what we've seen in the last couple of days is rather extraordinary volatility and is indicative of a war going on between supply and demand. This is base formation type activity, and provided it can hold above the $3 level, then the chances are that that natural gas has bottomed and it will break upwards from this base at some point. I think because of this volatility, it will be best bought following these big corrections, which it is prone to. And in the soft commodities sector, the grains have been really quite weak over the last couple of days. Corn in particular down 16 in here today, so really giving up much of the advance that it posted earlier this week and late last week. Soybeans, which has been the leader all along, was a little bit weaker in here today, but holding on to more of its advance than some of the other grains. And there is notable strength in some of the other soft commodities, with sugar making new highs today, with coffee also really quite firm, and orange juice, which has put together a couple of good days on the upside. In the soft commodities sector, particularly in those markets that are showing relative strength, there is a sound fundamental reason for them to be advancing that is particular to that one market. While the majority of commodities have done relatively well in the last 6 weeks or so, we're not in that same type of environment that we saw about 15 months ago, where every commodity was advancing because of speculation in the market. In precious metals, we're seeing, well, to split up the commodity market, we are seeing different reasons for investing in different parts of it rather than buying the whole commodity sector as a play. And part of the reason that the sector has firmed generally has been the weakness of the dollar, but the reason that we're seeing some of these commodities advancing in the last week or so has been down to fundamentals that have been particular to individual markets. So for industrial metals, there has been an arbitrage in, for example, copper, where the LME price is below the Shanghai price, and there was an arbitrage. With gold or the precious metals, people are looking at quantitative easing and saying, do we really want to put our faith in fiat currencies? And looking at the potential for precious metals to advance on that basis, and also on the basis that we are likely to get a weaker dollar in the short to medium term. And some of these soft commodities are advancing either on weather or supply issues, weather most particularly in the sugar market. So what we are seeing is really quite bullish action in a large number of markets, and particularly in those stock markets where all we've seen over the last week or so has been a pause in what has been a very persistent advance, and nothing has really happened to shake the bulls out of long positions that are out there. And we know what to look for to indicate that this very persistent and impressive advance has ended. I posted a number of charts in Commentive today, overlaying the stock market index with the relevant interest rate. And interest rates are pretty low and at extraordinarily low levels in some parts of the OECD, which is a tailwind to asset prices in the short term. Now, when we do start to see interest rates rising, then they'll offer a headwind, but it'll be inconsequential at the beginning. Sooner or later, that progression of rising interest rates will offer a significant headwind to asset markets, and it will cap this bullish environment that we have right now. But they're a tailwind at the moment, and when they begin to rise, it will only offer a mild headwind at the beginning, which will get increasingly stronger as time goes by. So we remain in conditions that are beneficial to asset prices advancing, and certainly that's what we've been seeing over the last 4 to 5 months at this point. And as I said, we know what to look for when this advance runs out of steam, and in the meantime, the upside can be given the benefit of the doubt. And with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.